Welcome to Just Think, the podcast.
The podcast where we don't want to tell you what to think.
We just want to encourage you to do it.
We are three friends that came from across the political spectrum who were tired of partisan politics and were alarmed at what we saw happening in our country, including the growing political divide.
But we found as we challenged ourselves to recognize our own biases, to put them aside, we were absolutely united in our pursuit for the truth.
And that's why we started this podcast, to share the conversations we were having around that pursuit and to invite you into our conversation.
To encourage you to feel free to ask questions, search for the answers yourself, to say what you think.
That's right, because as we like to say, diversity of thought, ideas, and beliefs are welcome here. Asshats are not.
All are welcome as long as you just think.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Just Think, the podcast. This is Holly.
And Amy.
And Kristen.
And we have with us today another very special guest, Kylie Alonz. You may know her if you follow NCAA swimming, if you follow women's sports, if you've been following the insanity that has been developing over the last few years where people are arguing that biological males should be able to participate in women's sports. Now, if you're first time listeners to the podcast, welcome to the family. You're going to learn pretty quickly that Kristen, Amy, and I are, as we say at the beginning of every episode, we're three friends that came from across the political spectrum. But now sitting in 2024, we never cared about political parties, but we for sure don't care about left and right anymore. We care about right and wrong. And as females and as women who are the recipients of hard-fought freedoms to be able to do things in this country, it's been shocking to watch those freedoms challenged. Sorry that you hear my dog barking in the background because he wants me to throw a ball. But it's shocking to me that we are living in a world where the feminists are quiet. Mm-hmm. And this is the conversation that we want to have today with an actual participant, someone who swam competitively against Leah Thomas. As you guys know who Leah Thomas probably is, it is the biological male who identifies as female and swam for Princeton. I believe it was Princeton, right? It's Princeton University.
Penn.
No, sorry, it's Penn. It was Penn. Sorry, Princeton. Did not mean to throw you under that bus. Penn, thank you. Swam for Penn in the NCAA competitions. And so Kylie is a girl with a story of her own who has worked incredibly hard growing up in Colorado, swimming competitively, earned her way to swim for NC State, go Wolfpack. And there she swam for 5 years, was a 2-time national champion, a 5-time ACC champion, and a 31-time All-American. And she did this predominantly swimming against other females who had probably likewise also trained hard and worked hard and earned their way into the competitive spots to swim in the NCAAs. So with that said, Kylie, you had the craziest thing happen when you show up to the national championships and only to discover that you were not swimming against all biological women. So let's start there. Take us back to that day. What happened? How did you learn that Leah Thomas was a competitor in her backstory? I'm going to say his because he's a biological male. I understand that's not politically correct. I'm not here for your political correctness. So, Kylie, you tell me, how did that all unfold?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. Y'all are amazing, and I love the topics that you bring to light. So 2 years ago, I swam at the NCAA championships. So in collegiate swimming, I was in D1 athletics. The NCAAs is like the big meet of the year. You train all your years, but you know, you basically don't rest and taper, and you put everything into one meet of the year, and you're racing against the best in the nation. And then a lot of these swimmers are also the best in the world. I have swam next to, you know, the Olympic gold medalist in the 100 fly. I was in a lane next to her like every single year. So the people at these meets are so good, and you have to train so hard just to be able to get in a final with them and to be able to compete at that level. And that year though was a little bit different though, because earlier in the year, we learned that we would be racing, or I guess earlier in the year, there was a new name that was kind of in the mix for all of these titles and records and stuff. And no one had ever heard of this person named Leah Thomas. And you know, you've been in the world for a while, you know, who's who, you know, who's, you know, gonna challenge for titles and stuff. And you would know if you had heard the name before, never had heard it. You know, did some background research, realized that Will Thomas was a swimmer on the Penn men's swimming and diving team for 3 years before going over to the women's team, after deciding to transition, his senior year. So obviously it was a very frustrating time, because this is in October and he is going times that like literally would final at the NCAA meet. So like no tech suit, like first meet of the season, just insane times. If a woman was to be doing those times, like she's probably an Olympian, like just these crazy times. So I honestly like didn't really think much of it. I was like, the NCAA is not going to let this slide. This is so obvious. Like he's literally he swam for the men's team. Now he's destroying in the women's competition. Like this will not fly. But lo and behold, 6 months later, there I was, or not 6 months, but like maybe 5 months later, I was at the NCAAs, going to the NCAAs being like, okay, I am literally going to have to race this man who they are allowing to compete. And, it was just kind of surreal. And I think everybody felt like it was surreal. Like you're trying to go there, do your best for your team, get points. But in the back of your mind, you're just like, you have this extra layer of, okay, well, what if I get booted out of a final because, you know, he beats me or this or that.
Did you know his times at that point? Like, because he was, I think, ranked in the 200s or something, maybe in men's swimming, right? So there were times that he had posted as a man. Were you girls aware of like, well, he swims this? So that's, of course, men historically have swam faster than women. So were you aware of his times?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't aware of his times from being on the men's team. But I knew that I trained with men, and I knew men that didn't even make the NCAAs who would kick my butt in practice. So like, I knew that it didn't matter if he, you know, wasn't a quote unquote, like accomplished or like a nationally ranked swimmer, male swimmer. Like I knew that he could kick my butt just because of the biological differences. So.
And so with Title IX, and I think, you know, you obviously understand the importance of Title IX, where it basically, guys, I think most people know what Title IX is, but it was what allowed women to have their own sport to compete against just women, to level that playing field. So women weren't, if women wanted to swim, they didn't have to go join a men's swimming team in a university. They could have their own. Because exactly what you just said, Kylie, you can't beat the best male swimmers. You biologically can't do it.
Yeah.
And it was the whole reason we created Title IX. So now we live in this world where that somehow it is we have to now accept biological men in women's sports because they choose to identify as a woman. Now, mind you, there's no chromosomal definition for this. There's nothing but a feeling. It is a feeling or a belief within that person that they are something that biology and science says they're not, but they feel this way. Now, here's where this gets really weird, right? Because I think the four of us, well, I can't speak for Kylie. I know I can speak for Kristen and Amy when I say we know that as Americans living in America, if someone wants to dress as something that they're not, if they want to identify as something, live as something, whatever, as long as they're not harming another individual, they have the freedom to do that. And we would not advocate for bullying or mistreatment of people that we believe some of which are truly struggling with something internally and that for which deserves compassion. So I want to be really clear on that. Where we have to draw a line is there is feelings and there is the truth. And so if we're going to operate as a society, there has to be a truth that's the standard and not the feelings, because the feelings will vacillate person to person. So when you have laws or standards or rules or boundaries, they have to be established for the entire culture, not for individuals, for the entire culture to function, not based on feelings, based in fact. This is the argument the three of us put forward to say, having Leah Thomas, any biological man, swim, compete in any sport against a female is unequivocally wrong. Okay, but now let's go back to when this swim meet happens and Leah Thomas wins or ties. She ties Riley Gaines, right?
Yeah.
Was it tie?
100th of a second.
Go back to the first day.
I want to hear something else. Yeah. Because just real quick, when we are talking about feelings, people keep talking about the feelings of that individual. And yes, we want to be compassionate for them. But we need to talk about the feelings of all the women, all the girls in the bathroom, in the changing room, and all this. How do they feel? Why are we not taking that into account when you have a biological male in there with his schlong hanging out, getting dressed, and you are not even prepared for that, you know? And you are changing. You have to change right in front of this mm-hmm. person. So I know you may be talking about that too, but I mean, it's just like, we got to talk about facts, but if we're going to talk about feelings too, look at both sides. It's not just one side. And look at the That's majority right. that it's affecting, not the minority.
Right. Yes. And we wanted to clarify kind of where we're coming from, because I think when people hear these conversations, they start accusing you of bigotry or hate, which is why I just wanted to clarify our stance right now so that right. everyone understands this is not coming from a place of hate or discrimination at all. It's about right. fairness. Okay. Go back to meet one. You're there. You find out he's there. Take us through that.
A lot of good stuff. And yeah, for the record, like I don't even have like animosity or any hate in my heart towards Leah Thomas. Like,
no.
My whole message has been about protecting women and, like asking these governing bodies and being like, will you stand up for the women that you claim to protect?
Yes.
You know, he was there. He was actually following the rules. They set the rules. He followed the rules, but we're saying the rules are, like allowing women to be discriminated against. Like, this is exactly what Title IX was put in place for, to right. avoid, but you are completely going the opposite direction. You're trying to basically go back in time, back 50 years with women's sports with what you're doing. Right. So yeah, day one, well, I guess day one is when he won the 500 free, but that was also the day that I realized that not only would I have to be competing, but I would also have to be changing in the same locker room. And this is actually not something I even literally had thought about until I got to the meet. Like, I was just so wrapped up in this idea of like, oh, I have to compete. Like, I'm so stressed about this. I wasn't even thinking about the locker room. And I think a lot of the public doesn't even realize to this day, yeah. like they see, you know, the race and stuff and they're like, that's unfair, but they don't realize the behind the scenes of like all us women in the locker room. And then also a man in the locker room with us and how uncomfortable that is. Like, anybody would feel uncomfortable if they're forced to change in front of the opposite sex. So that's what we were placed into. And I just remember like the feeling of uncomfortableness, and I've never felt any, like I've never been worried about that, but I just knew that a man could be in that locker room, and he was, like, I saw him in there. But like, I remember just the first day, like covering myself with my parka, my towel, I'm just like changing the corner.
Did he show modesty? Did he demonstrate modesty at all?
I wasn't actually in the locker room at the same. I think I was just passing through when I saw him.
Right.
But according to Riley, like, yeah, I think so, but I'm not really. I can't okay. really.
Yeah.
I can't remember that.
Right.
But anyways, so I ended up handling this by changing in a storage closet. So I like found this storage closet behind my team's bleachers, and I just like was like, oh, this is the right place to change, like big enough for me to change in. It was a little dark, a little bit dirty, but like it worked, and I was great. Honestly, I was grateful. I was like, thank goodness. I remember telling my mom, like my mom was asking me about it. I was like what's the situation in the locker room? I was like, don't worry. Like, I'm just changing in the storage closet. Like, I can't deal with that stress in the locker room. So,
You probably weren't the only one either, right? I mean, and also I'm thinking about putting a swimsuit on, like the kind that you guys wear. It's not like you're sliding a pair of shorts on, right? It's like, I mean, you know, you gotta.
Swimming is such a unique sport because, you know, we really use our locker room. Like, we go in there, we get into our practice suit, we come out, we do our warm up, we go back in, we put on our racing suit, which takes maybe 20 to 40 minutes depending on the person or the suit to put on. And, you know, you're just inching this thing up your body. And then you go do your race. You come back. You don't want to wear it for too long because they're so expensive and they're so thin that you come back in and you take it off. And then you put on your practice suit and you go back and do your warm down. And then you come back and then shower and then like.
Wow. You know, so it's a lot. It's not just a simple thing.
No, you are not just like changing from a sports bra to a t-shirt. Right. Like, you are literally stripping down and you're spending a ton of time in there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know that I think we've talked about this before, and I also think about Riley's stories because you guys have your take on this is very similar when she talked about you're all standing around watching this person swim and recognizing they're going to win some of their, races, but no one, you're alarmed, but no one is really going, What? Why is this fair? Like, no one's wanting to say anything. Is that correct? Do I have that right? What's being said around you while you're watching this unfold?
I think it was just like, I mean, obviously we knew that it was unfair, and you know, we were all frustrated. But I think that by the time we got to the meet, it was almost just like we have to ignore this distraction to perform for our team.
Yeah.
Like, I remember watching him win the 500 free and Emma Wyant was the rightful winner. And I just remember feeling so low. And I was like, I cannot believe that, like, first of all, she was just robbed of her title. But like, I can't believe I'm witnessing this at the biggest meet of my life. But I also felt so powerless because it's like the NCAA set up this meet. The NCAA allowed this to happen. Right. And I just was like, I used to have so much pride and like Title IX and all this and the NCAA and like just realizing that we are living in 2024 and women are still having to fight just for their right to have like, equal opportunity to compete and just to be like recognize that we're different than men. Like it was just kind of I don't think I really processed it honestly for like a year after.
Well, we all look back and we see the slippery slope, right? When you have a Supreme Court judge who's being basically going through the interrogation of whether or not she should be, you know, appointed to the Supreme Court. And she's, when they say, what is a woman? She cannot define what a woman is. And we're all like, you know what a woman is. Like, you know, we're all watching going, but you know what a woman is. But because we have now been programmed by culture, to not be willing to say what a woman is because we're afraid of being called a bigot if we define it biologically. And this silences what might be the majority of people who still believe in biology and still believe in science and still believe that there is a universal truth, whether you agree with it or not. It's like, this is where it started. When we started to not be able to say, no, a transgender woman is not a woman. A transgender man is not a man. And so when you get society programmed and trained to not speak up, to not define, to not stick to the truth, we wind up in women's sports and in the NCAA swimming meet, biggest meet of your careers as college swimmers. And we have to allow biological men to compete because no one wants to speak up and go, this is wrong. Because at that meet, Kylie, who was speaking up in defense of you guys? Anyone at that point?
No.
Not one person.
No. I mean, not that I know of.
Well, Molly, like when you're saying the slippery slope and how we've all been programmed, I tend to believe that it goes back even further than this with the rise of the feminist movement and how many years we've been told or, you know, programmed about how women and men are the exact same. Women can do everything men can do. Women are just as equal as men. Women are this, you know, we've spent decades telling women that they are just like men. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, but we're different than men. You know what I mean? So people struggle with it because this is a culture shift that's been decades in the making.
You're right. You're right, Amy. You're so right. And that's where we find ourselves in this weird predicament, right? And I also would argue too, no, we joke on the podcast. So for first time listeners, I got to be clear. But like I have said before, give me all the toxic masculinity. Okay. And what I mean by that is when we talk about strong, we talk about confident men, like who are protectors and providers, and they will take the weight of the world on their shoulders on behalf of other people. Yeah, I like that. Actually, I think it's sexy. I think it's hot. I think it's good. I think it's good for society. Now, I understand when a man has this bravado of arrogance, sometimes it's off-putting, right? Or they think that, you know, or they think that women, they don't appreciate what women bring to the table. That's off-putting. I understand where the toxic word came from. I'm a woman. I've lived in the world for a long time. I know what they're talking about. But I want the strength of men. Mm-hmm. And I want the protectiveness that God gave men innately. I want the provisional part where men feel the responsibility to take care of their families. I want that in society because they have been some of the pillars of the building blocks of families that create healthy humans in the world. And the rise of the feminist movement started to erode that masculinity because then we were telling men not to be men anymore. We don't need you. We don't want you. We can do anything you can do. And now we're watching it play out. No, we can't. We can't swim as fast as you. Your best swimmers and our best swimmers can't compete. Your best boxers, our best boxers can't compete. Mm-mm. Your best basketball players, our best basketball players can't compete. I mean, all these people that are not standing up for women, let's wait till the WNBA is filled with biological men. Then what? Like, this is what's going to inevitably happen until we stop the madness. Mm-hmm. So, Kylie, let me ask you. So you go to this meet. This all happens. We see that Leah and formerly Will and Riley, they tie. And Riley tells the story. They give him the trophy because they had one trophy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's like pandering to me. Right? Isn't that's pandering? Like, let's make sure we don't look like we're not being fair here. But the irony is,
she questioned them, and they told her like we have to give it to Leah, and you know she had her answer right there. Like it was pandering, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you know it's just like they're just cowards, the NCAA, to be honest. Like, it's such a simple truth to state, and letting one man into the competition did so much harm. I just, all the women who lost out on a final didn't make the meet because he took their spot, missed scoring for their team at all, missed their trophies, he beat me as well. Like I lost points. Like you just think of one person can do so much and it isn't just one person anymore. It's,
Why are we
just ignoring like all the women that were affected by this?
Our listeners know that the three of us are passionate about exposing the broken systems within our society, revealing how the quest for money and power has corrupted so many of them so that they no longer serve us.
That's right. We talk a lot about our broken medical system, and that includes our broken medical insurance system. We believe that it is time we dismantle the broken systems and work together to rebuild new ones that actually serve us.
And that's why we're excited to share an answer we found as an alternative to your traditional insurance plan that charges you exorbitant monthly payments and deductibles, then asks you to pay even more when you get sick, that controls your medical decisions, including what your physician is allowed to do and prescribe, and that rakes in billions as corporations at our expense.
That's why we love CrowdHealth. We interviewed CEO Andy Schoonover in episode 106, which we encourage you all to check out to learn more. But Andy founded CrowdHealth after experiencing firsthand just how inept and outrageous insurance companies have become.
CrowdHealth is not an insurance company, but a platform and a community that empowers you with a crowdfunding tool and a wealth of resources to efficiently manage your healthcare costs. And it's an excellent alternative to health insurance, allowing us to escape the healthcare matrix and put us and our healthcare providers back in charge.
Ever since my family and I made the switch to CrowdHealth, not only are we proud to be part of a company with integrity, but we love that we are free from the broken insurance system. We will never be part of that system again. We've had nothing but an A-plus experience. From before we even enrolled, we connected with an advocate who answered our questions. Then upon enrollment, we were immediately assigned a personal advocate who is literally a text away anytime I need her. If you follow them on Instagram and Twitter, you will see not only how much they truly care about each of the members, but also how much money they save us. This is why we encourage all of you to go to joincrowdhealth.org to learn more and to use code JUSTTHINK to get your first 3 months of membership for just $99 a month. Again, it's joincrowdhealth.org with discount code JUSTTHINK. You can also reference our Just Think the podcast Substack for more information.
Right. That's such a good point. It's a trickle-down effect happened, right? Because when you bring that person into a spot, the people below them all lose. They end up being pushed out. And these girls have worked their whole, I mean, gosh, I bet we could do a whole hour segment with you, Kylie, on preparation to become an NCAA Division I athlete, right? Yeah. Like all that you had to put into your life. You gave up so much to get there, yeah, only to have it taken in 1 minute by a biological male. Mm-hmm. So as you've watched the Olympics, this is back in the headlines now, because we watched we watched the boxing matches happening, and there's a lot of information, misinformation. We're still not sure what's going on there. I think that some country had to finally acknowledge they were biological males. They were trying to say they weren't, but we watched a boxer bow out within the first minute of boxing against a biological male. And again, just to your point, she spent her whole life to make it to the Olympics, only to bow out in the first minute because she's never been hit that hard in her life. What are your thoughts as you watch this, Kylie?
I mean, you're just seeing the politics, the cowardice of the International Olympic Committee just on full display. Mm-hmm. And I will say this is a little bit different than Leah Thomas' situation because it's possible we're dealing with a DSD, differences in sex development, and maybe something that isn't outright someone transitioning, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But at the bottom line is that the IBA, the International Boxing Association, determined that these boxers were male through a genetic test, XY chromosomes. So, but the IOC didn't do any sort of genetic sex testing or anything. They just said, you know, whatever is on your passport, we'll let you let it fly. So, you know, you're seeing these organizations, you know, completely just, you know, and the IBA is trying to hold the IOC accountable.
Yeah.
And I really encourage anybody who's watching this to do the research for yourself. There is a lot of information. There's a lot of just opinions going around. Do the investigation yourself. And I'm not here to give a whole essay about why this shouldn't be allowed, but I just do know that they have been determined to be male. And why is the IOC completely ignoring it? They can't even produce a statement. They're just completely ignoring it. And, you know, also why can't we do sex testing at the Olympics? You would think that in order to protect women, especially in a sport such as boxing,
right,
you would want to make sure that you aren't going to put these women's life in jeopardy by making sure that they're competing against only females. Right. So I think it's just absolute just lack of oversight by the IOC. There's probably a lot more politics behind the scenes than we even care to acknowledge.
I know. And then the women that are trying to, you know, take up for... And we know about that it's but they did determine that he's a man. And even if it was a genetic issue or whatever, regardless, he, she, whatever, had been ruled that should not have been doing that. Because, and I will tell y'all, Becky Weiss, I really love her. She,
love her.
She, I don't know if she's with Gays Against Groomers, but they
share. She is, I think. Yeah.
I think they share her stuff all the time. She used to box. She had a great video, and I'm going to put it in the Substack because I want to highlight it because she talks about this, but she shows pictures of her face busted up by a female. Mm-hmm. She said, a female did this to me. So to show you, you know, it's one thing with swimming and then a whole other mm-hmm. thing even with boxing. Like, they could die. I mean, it could be one blow to the face and they could die.
Yeah.
This is where you have to take into account the testosterone. You have to take into mm-hmm. account, like, how, you know, their biological, you know, genetics there, you know?
Happened with volleyball too. The volleyball
in North Carolina.
In North Carolina, mm-hmm. ball so hard that
mm-hmm.
the girl is, I swear, she might even be like paralyzed or something. Like, something.
She has brain damage. She has brain damage of a North Carolina volleyball player from being hit by a male. And by the way, ever since this discussion has happened, I have a male and female dog. Two dogs, male and female. You heard the male barking, which is, again, this is what I'm going to talk about, the difference between males and females. The male is not neutered. He's 9 months old. And this dog, as I watch testosterone begin to feel this dog's body, and he's a golden retriever, a love, a sweet, like, good boy, right? But I'm watching where his older sister could wrestle him to the ground, beat him to the ground. They are now, when they got to be the same size, and one's older, the testosterone, mm-hmm. the muscle in the male begins to overtake the female. You can watch it in nature. Guys, you can watch it in nature. Testosterone is a powerful, that's why female bodybuilders like to use it and male bodybuilders like to use it because of what it does to the body. And there's just, it's undeniable differences that, again, we all knew in kindergarten. And the fact that we're having this conversation as grown-ass adults, it's like boggling to me because we don't know. And just the other day, my girlfriend runs into a guy that I went to middle school with and he says, that I used to beat all the boys in sports. And it was true. I did until the end of seventh grade. And guess what? Yeah. They hit puberty.
Yeah.
I no longer could beat them in anything. The best boys, I could beat the girls, but I could not beat the best boys. And this is what, why? Because testosterone kicked in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened.
Many other things.
And so, right. So many other things too. The way the body's made is different. But mm-hmm. it just goes to show that there is such an, it's not equitable. There's not, we don't come to the table with the same things. And it's such a lack of courage. It is, and that's mm-hmm. what we've witnessed. That is what we've witnessed, Kylie, for 4.5 years. An absolute lack of courage by most people to just stand mm-hmm. up and say, mm-hmm. no, this is not true. And to stop supporting anything or anyone that argues against science.
Well, that's what I want to ask about, like, the NCAA. So this happened, and I feel like this was a lot of backlash out there, you know, from what we saw. I mean, maybe not, you know, depending on what news outlets you follow and this, that, and the other. People were not on board with this Leah Thomas thing. I mean, people were outraged. But mm-hmm. yet, has the NCAA changed anything? Like, as of today, could a man swim against, like, the team today?
The NCAA has literally, they've been such cowards. There's been laws passed in like states, but the NCAA has, I think they've essentially just said, oh, the governing body of each sport can decide what to do. Like, they've just completely passed off the leadership. They literally cannot bring themselves to actually stand up for women.
Yep.
So yeah, that's why we're suing them, actually.
Yes. Talk about that.
But yeah, so I'm part of a group of women plaintiffs who many of us have experienced. Actually, many of us were at that meet, or we are current, or there's current collegiate athletes as well. And, you know, we are standing up and saying, NCAA, you claim to champion women's sports. You claim, like, you had it written over our Title IX t-shirts that you gave it to us at that very meet. Like, you claim to do all these things, but you are not doing this. And so we are going to hold you accountable. And so this lawsuit was filed I think in March of this year. So I guess still pretty early on in the process, but it really is just about holding the NCA accountable and like asking them to change their rules moving forward.
And so, how many plaintiffs?
I think, is it 16? We've had a recent addition or two, but I think it's 16.
It's not a small group of girls that are finally saying we're done. Like something needs to change here.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's actually been really great to see. Cause I think about a year ago, Riley was like the only one that had spoken out. And ever since, we've made just so much progress. Like she's inspired me to speak out. She's inspired so many women. And I think she's shown, like, I think there was just a fear barrier for a lot of us. What will happen to me?
Right. We saw the way Riley was treated, honestly. Yeah. When she would go and speak at these campuses, I'm sure you guys were afraid. People were throwing things at her.
Mm-hmm. She was held hostage in a room.
Into a room, like threatening her life because she thinks that only women should compete against women in sports. I mean,
she was
can we seriously just, it ain't even making critical thinking cool again. It's like common sense.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, like the basics.
Yeah. And the thing is they're like, Riley has encountered some hostility and I've encountered hostility, but I will say there are so many people that are on our side and I would say that the fear barrier is higher than it should be. Like there is so much fear about this, but the consequences and the amount of people that really blatantly will not support you is so small.
Good.
It might be loud, but it's small because I think people are starting to realize okay, you can't deny these biological differences. And they're just starting to see the harm and, they're hearing our stories and they're hearing, so this is actually the trickle down effect of allowing even just a small number of men to compete in women's sports. Like this is what this can actually do. Like we've got to start speaking up for this. And so many more people need to speak out. But, I just keep, trying to encourage as many people as I can. And I understand it's scary. I remember a week after I spoke out, I think maybe a couple of the news articles misquoted or said something. And I was gonna have this existential crisis with my mom and we were on vacation. And I just remember, but now I look back and I kind of laugh at that because I'm I cannot believe that I was in that much distress over literally just coming out and saying, I think men or women are different and I was discriminated against at this meet. I can't believe I was in that much distress over the backlash or media about.
But Kylie, that's exactly what we want people to see. Exactly. Felt like you couldn't even stand up for truth or what is right or what is fair or what has been socially acceptable for thousands of years until 2020. Like this is what we're trying to say. You were afraid to speak out. Imagine. And you personally saw what happens as a result. So it's your lived experience is, oh my gosh, this is so discriminating. This is punitive to me. Mm-hmm. And you're afraid to say it. So can someone like us three who aren't really affected directly by this are still we have less reason to speak out because but this is what we're trying to change. Everyone speak out. Mm-hmm. Everyone just find your courage, please, today, immediately, and especially in this election season, find your courage and start saying something. And because the collective voices of peaceful but honest people can prevail against the loud minority that is not backed in truth. They're not backed in truth. We have the truth on our side. We have to find our voice. We have to start speaking out and we have to just be willing to deal with the backlash that might come from the loud fringe.
I think something I like to say is silence, it is a position. Silence isn't just I can support from afar or this or that. Silence is a way to agree with the loud voices that are going on. If you're not speaking against them, like you're in agreement with that. And that's something I had to like start telling myself when I was speaking out, like, no, I am speaking out for truth because I know this is right to speak out. And I can't go another day with just being silent on this matter because I can't just like agree with this for any longer. Well, and right. The agreeing is by being silent in my
position. Kristen sent something to Amy and me and I reposted it this week and we're going to put this in the Substack too. I think it was you, Kristen. C.S. Lewis said, I think it was in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, he wrote, one of the most cowardly things ordinary people do is shut their eyes to facts.
Mm. Yeah.
It's good. Cowardly. We have a crisis of cowards, a crisis of utter cowards. And listen, it's easy. It's easy to be a coward when you know that speaking out might cost you something. But my question to all of us is this. It will cost you something temporarily, maybe, but your silence will cost you your freedoms forever. And the freedoms for you and the freedoms for your kids and the existence of this, quote, free country. The people who defend freedom are not just the ones who sign up in the military and stand on a wall and mm-hmm. decide that they're going to fight for you. It's every last one of us using and exercising our freedoms to demonstrate how it's done. And if you want to spend another, let's see, what are we in August? August, September, October, November. If you want to spend another 3 months sitting there hoping you don't piss somebody off or offend somebody and you know that what has been taking over this country is not good and you don't say anything and you don't speak out, you get what you did not speak up for.
Yep.
You get to live with what you were not willing to speak up for. And those of us who are putting our necks out there and getting some backlash, and I mean, gosh, Kylie, I'm sure they come for you real easy because they have mobs that target you guys. Mm-hmm. But it's not that bad. Because guess what? When an idiot comes and writes something on your social media wall, like happened to us this week, where it was like, I thought I was going to find three progressive women having a conversation. And I was like, well, I'm sorry, you're so disappointed. I don't know who falsely advertised that we're progressive, but we are not. When you start to realize who hates you, you go, I don't want their approval because mm-hmm. what they stand for is not what I stand for.
Right.
Like, I don't want their approval. So when you start to get to that place, you realize the haters are going to hate and it is what it is. And maybe someone doesn't hire you. Or worse, maybe they fire you and you have a lawsuit for discrimination. Mm-hmm. But in the end of the day, there mm-hmm. are more important things. Your freedoms are at stake. They're more at stake than they've ever been.
And I promise you, more people agree with you. More people agree with you than don't. Like you said, you know, it feels like you might be in the minority, but once you speak out, you'll realize how many people are like, yes, I agree. Oh my gosh, you're so right. I wish I could say something. You know, all the things.
I hear that. Yeah. I wish I could say something.
One of my favorite quotes from Riley is like, courage begets courage. Like, I 100% believe in that. Like,
yes,
you will encourage and give people courage by speaking out in whatever little way or big way that you can.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're so proud of you.
The minute you speak, that begins the pruning season. Like, it's like once you speak up, It is. It's like, that's where it weeds out the people that you don't need in your life. And if you can't agree to disagree on certain things, or if you aren't allowed to speak, but they are, how do they get the right to speak up and you don't? They sure as hell don't care. So if they are able to, like, why are you giving them that power? You have just as much power. It's almost like I don't want to change our podcast, but it's like, we need to say, just think, then speak, or just think, now speak. To just think. We do need everybody to think because a lot of people have lost that ability, but you got to take that next step because that's where action happens. You know, action speaks.
Hey, girl.
You've got to. I do want to ask, what can we do to help? Is there anything we can do to help y'all with, I mean, you know, or at least spread the word about the lawsuit mm-hmm. or get more people involved or, you know, and I know I also am going to add in the Substack, I know there's a lot of petitions going around to save women's sports, but like, what can we do? Or what can the audience do to help y'all or support you?
Yeah. So one more thing about the lawsuit, like this is a groundbreaking case. If we win, which I believe we will, because we are grounded in truth, we will set a precedence for all of America. Like the NCAA is such a huge organization. And if this lawsuit goes through, we will set a precedent. So, you know, I'm very proud to be a part of it, and it's a huge deal. And if you want to stand up for women's sports and support us, you can go to takeonthenca.com. Takeonthenca.com. You can hear about the plaintiffs, the media related to it, and then support the lawsuit and legal fees and stuff like that.
Donate today, going straight there after getting this done. Let's do our part, guys.
I wish we had a connection. I'm sorry to interrupt, but like I immediately think of Jeff Childers with Coffee and COVID, because he always does the matching, you know, if there's ever anything when people donate. What is it? What does he call it? He talks about it. Like, we need to get your lawyers, if they can get in touch with Jeff Childers, who writes the Substack Coffee and COVID, he does multipliers where he shares what's going on. Okay. And the whole audience, you know, everybody who reads it, he says, just donate ending in a two. And I mean, he has millions or maybe at least thousands and thousands. And we do too. I mean, I'm going to put it in our Substack because we have, thank y'all, everybody. We have we're at over 9,000 subscribers. Thank y'all. Yeah, most of them are free. So if anybody wants to donate there, we'll take that too. But it's free. But all of our subscribers, so we have a great audience as well, but he has like hundreds of thousands. So if your lawyer can get in touch with him, it'd be awesome for him to know about this and share, because I know he'd probably be all about that.
I will check.
We want to spread the word so that everybody can put their money in their mouths. Money and your mouths. Don't just make a donation and don't speak up. Make a donation and speak up. And it's just so imperative. And it's like they said, people are going to secretly say, thank you for saying something. You're going to, it's just like Kylie said, courage begets courage. You speak up, you're going to give people permission and encouragement to do the exact same thing. And time is of the essence, for sure. Well, Kylie, now that I know you have like a big girl job now, which is right? Aren't you? I think you're working in Raleigh, not just swimming any longer. Are you involved in swimming at all anymore?
Me and my roommate will go swim like once a week. So no, not really. But
the thing is that, and this is what really breaks my heart, is that the end of your career was marked by an injustice. And I think that's...
Well, actually, I did have another year after that.
Gotcha. Yeah, you swam one.
Many other people's years were marked by injustice. And yeah. You don't want that to happen again.
No, we do not. And to see the Olympics make the same choices and to see a uniform, doctrine pretty much put forth that says, hey, women, biological women only here. So that it keeps everything.
It really is so black and white. Yeah. And, you know, we need to keep speaking up and saying the truth, even when the world would try to blur the lines. We need to be like, no, this is black and white.
Right? Yep.
Men should not be in women's sports.
That's right.
That's all I got to say.
I will highlight the Title IX. Y'all have got to pay attention if you have not. The
Biden
administration, they are trying to change it. And there's in the vote, like September, like it's coming soon. I really want everybody, and I'm going to put a video in the Substack with this too, because this is all so timely. This is really important because it affects every single school that's federally funded. Mm-hmm. So this is K-12, even preschools, colleges. If you are a parent, you need to pay attention to this.
Yeah.
If you are a student, you need to pay attention to this. And if there's ever any reason to get out and just get involved and vote and like pay attention, like please, please, please go check that out.
Yes.
Very good. Well, Kylie, we can't thank you enough for, first of all, your advocacy, your voice. And like you said, we know it has not come without a cost, but you're seeing, I think I could tell you've got your swagger now that you know. You're like, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. There's a lot more people who agree with me. I'm good. You know, it's just crossing that line, right? It's like when you just finally go, why didn't I say anything before?
Literally, you're like, oh, okay. It's actually not so bad here on the other side.
No, I'm actually on the side of truth, so I'm good.
I feel a lot freer.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, we're so proud of you and all the gals who are joining with you and speaking up. And this is our call out to everyone who's ever called yourself a feminist. If you want to defend women and women's rights, here's your shot. Here's your chance, girl. Get on it. Let's do it. We've got it. And the only reason that I think we're not hearing from feminists is that their organizations are largely progressive left, and they've not been given the call. They've not been ushered the mandate to go out and speak. So they're sheep who wait for their leader to tell them what to speak out on and which battles they want to engage in. Hopefully for all of us free thinkers, we don't need anyone to tell us when to stand up for what is right. You got God and your own inner convictions for that. So yep. Stop waiting on anyone to tell you what you need to speak out on. It is way past time. And with that, thank you, Kylie, so much for being on, girl. We're going to keep following you, and we're going to go donate right now. Once more, we're going to put that in the Substack. So make sure you go to Just Think the Substack to subscribe. You can subscribe for free. But that was take on the NCAA.com. Go support what these brave gals are doing, and let's go make this right. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Kylie.
Thank you, bye-bye. Ladies.
Bye. Bye. I'm sorry.